It's Sunday night, and that means it's time for some nostalgia. This week, we're going back to WrestleMania 25, HBK versus The Undertaker, right after a word from our sponsor. So, do you guys love wrestling? And are you a cord cutter? I have a perfect solution for you. That's Beast TV. Beast TV offers 3,000 plus HD channels and all sports packages. Pay-per-views are only $4 a piece. And if you mention this podcast when you sign up, you'll also get a discount off your first order. All you have to do is email beastzonetv@gmail.com. That's beastzonetv@gmail.com. You can also check out the website at thebeast.tv. Again, to get that discount, you have to email beastzonetv@gmail.com. Everything from wrestling to UFC and boxing pay-per-views, it's all there for just $15 a month. Check out The Beast. It's beastzonetv@gmail.com. And don't forget to mention this podcast when you send the email, and you'll get a discount off your first order.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the reality era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Sunday, July 14th, 2019. As we speak, the pay-per-view Extreme Rules is going on, and so this is not a pay-per-view review show, but there will be on Tuesday, and a review show for Raw. So, big, packed show for Tuesday. So, definitely tune in for that, and you'll have your SmackDown Live review coming this week, and of course, on Thursday will be my co-host joining me for all the events of the week, including what happens at the pay-per-view, Raw, SmackDown, and any other news that will be coming through the wire. And this week I'll be joined by Ashley Mann, who is one of the co-hosts of the show. So really excited to be speaking with her. Always a good conversation. We just gel together when we talk wrestling, and it's always a pleasure. So looking forward to that. And also, guys, I know I keep plugging it, but check out the website, wwepodcast.com, and all the podcasts are there. Articles are there. I'm trying to post them. I've got great contributors, and I appreciate them very much, and I really do appreciate everybody who's checking out the site and giving me feedback, whether it's good or bad, because if it's something that you want to see improved, hey, let me know, because that's what we're here for. That's what I want to do, is make the site better if I can. And so give that a quick view when you have a moment, and thank you so much. And also follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. So thank you so much again, and welcome to the show. This is the wrestling nostalgia version of the WWE Podcast. So strap in. I've got the flux capacitor set. We just have to get to 88 miles an hour, and then we will be back in time. A time all the way back to WrestleMania 25. It took place on April 5th, 2009, and it emanated from the Reliant Stadium in Houston, Texas. Now, I would challenge anybody, before I get into the match, we all know what I'm going to talk about because I let you know at the top of the show, and just anybody let me know, just top of your head, beyond The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, what's another match you remember on that show? Quickly now, no, don't Wikipedia it. Yeah, it took me a minute too to remember what the card was, and I actually had to go to Google to figure out what the matches were, because I did remember that there was a Triple H and Randy Orton main event, but was that really the main event of WrestleMania? I mean, I always have stood by the ground that the main event of WrestleMania is always the match that goes on last. I still believe that, and I would define Randy Orton and Triple H as the main event. There's no multiple main events. I don't believe in that stuff either. I think that's very self-serving and a cop-out to matches that should be the main event, the true main event. So Triple H and Randy Orton was the main event. But in fans' minds, what do they remember from WrestleMania 25?
one single thing. The artwork. The masterful execution. Two legends locking it up, who have always had amazing chemistry together. In probably, no. In one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. That, I don't say that statement lightly. I don't say it to get this show over or to make you guys think I believe something that I don't. That is, to me, in the top three of my all-time favorite WrestleMania matches ever. It was damn near perfect. About as perfect of a wrestling match that you could have on a stage that doesn't get any bigger. They executed it to damn near perfection. And not just was the execution amazing, and they didn't have to do flip-flop fly of today's style. And there was something called selling. Selling, folks, in that match. And a hell of a backstory to support it. These two, prior to WrestleMania 25, hadn't locked horns since their Bad Blood pay-per-view match in 1997. A match I've also reviewed as one of my favorite matches of all time. This is the second time that I've done a wrestling nostalgia show in which these two are now are featured. Except we're fast-forwarding 12 years to 2009. And the same two individuals are involved. And obviously the circumstances are much bigger. The stage is much bigger. In a match that will be remembered forever. Just of how good it was. And yes, the story, as I mentioned. A story that was told very, very well because it was thought out. The seeds were planted early in the year. And if you also remember, Shawn Michaels was JBL's assistant because Shawn Michaels had fallen on hard times financially in the storyline. And JBL was helping him out financially. So Shawn Michaels was being used by John Bradshaw Layfield as an insurance policy to win matches and retain his championship. And so he was forced almost into slavery or blackmailed to do the things in the bidding of JBL to make sure that he is financially secure with his family. And so I enjoyed the story. If you remember, that was during the time of the recession in the United States economy. Rough time. So it was a believable, relevant storyline. And Shawn Michaels finally rid himself of JBL. He was no longer Employee of the Month, as you will watch in the promo to that match, which I would really highly recommend, too. The production value, too, was just top-notch. So Shawn Michaels rid himself of JBL and then said that he is looking forward to WrestleMania now. And if there's anybody that should face The Undertaker at the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, it should be him. And also, you had Vladimir Kozlov. Anybody remember him? Or is that a name that y'all don't even know? because he was about as relevant as Heidenreich. Remember Heidenreich? Or let's see some other failed ones. Paul Burchill, the pirate, or Mordecai. Should the list go on? Right. So he was a very forgotten character. Basically, he was this Russian meathead that had about as much personality as the storage bin that I'm looking at in my basement right now. And Shawn Michaels ended up defeating him for the number one contendership to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. As if there was any doubt. As if there was any doubt that Vladimir Kozlov would beat Shawn Michaels on that Raw match. So we get that build. The feud begins. The fire reignites for Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Two men that have had parallel careers in terms of success, in terms of in-ring ability. They, you know, what Shawn Michaels brings to the table is not what The Undertaker brings to the table, and vice versa, which is why they work so damn well. They just have always, always gelled. Top-notch professionals, know how to cut promos, and it was darkness versus light. That is how they build this program, darkness versus light. And how apropos for Shawn Michaels' reinvigorated, newfound belief in religion after he came back, well documented. I'm sure he had a stake in this. So you had Shawn Michaels coming back as the light and Undertaker coming as the darkness. There was no heels in this match. It was straight up babyface versus babyface. And yes, you can do that. I don't always need a heel to face a good guy. I need people in the ring that make sense together. And you don't always have to have one turn. And neither one turned and neither one should have. I mean, think about it. You did Rock versus Austin, WrestleMania 17. Babyface versus babyface. Obviously, we know Stone Cold turn heel, I know. But the build to the match was face versus face. And that can be very, very successful. Very successful if done correctly. It doesn't always have to be a defined good guy and a defined bad guy. It's traditionally that works, but it doesn't always have to be the case, particularly when they're at the magnitude of the success and stardom of Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. So we get this build of darkness versus light. And the tagline for this match was, sometimes it's hell trying to get to heaven. And if I recall correctly, this was planted several months back when Undertaker and Shawn Michaels met at the Royal Rumble match. And backstage, Undertaker said that to him in passing. And then they subsequently ended up meeting in the Royal Rumble match, not this year, not this particular year, but I believe it was a year or two prior to that. They ended up being the final few individuals in the match. It ended up coming down to Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, if I recall. Undertaker ended up winning. And so there's a little bit of history there. So when I tell you guys that it's been 12 years, well, yes, in a one-on-one capacity, yes. So that's how long that they had stayed on separate courses. And Shawn Michaels taking, what, 6-7 years off to mend his body, his brain, his soul, and then coming back and facing Triple H in 2002, in which case he would have taken 4 years off. So there goes my math. My math skills are off today. So we had The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. It's darkness versus light. And don't forget at this time, too, The Undertaker's streak was still intact. The 16-0 at that time streak was intact and believed to be unbeatable. At this time, you have to just remember and transplant your brain back to the time before the streak was broken that you had The Undertaker's streak alive, and that was everything to WrestleMania. And you looked forward to it every year, but it was Shawn Michaels' job to make you believe that he could be the one, that he is the one in the 16-1. And he did a decent job because, number one, he's Shawn Michaels. So there's that. There's Shawn Michaels who can beat you with the blink of an eye with Sweet Chin Music. You know, the finisher that's being used by everyone now, and it's no longer a finish, it's just a transition move. Yeah, that move. And so you were putting a little bit of doubt in fans' minds. Shawn Michaels hit Sweet Chin Music, I believe, a couple of times on The Undertaker prior to the match itself in the build. I don't believe Undertaker really got any significant offense on Shawn Michaels, who kept kind of slithering out of the ring and escaping choke slams. So there, you know, if you look at traditional booking of WWE, you would realize that, well, if the, you know, whoever is getting the advantage in the build typically gets the loss in the finish. And that applied here. And again, this is not an across the board rule, but in general, that is the case with WWE booking. So we get a darkness versus light, and I'm going to give you guys some audio from that match just to bring you back a little bit. And don't forget that Jim Ross was still at the commentary table at this time, calling this match, which of course, added to the drama and the emotion of that match, because he just has an innate gift to be able to bring you in and make you feel what those men are feeling, or women. And when he was at that desk, he wasn't there for WrestleMania 26 with Shawn Michaels Undertaker 2 when Shawn retired. I believe it was Matt Stryker, which wasn't the best decision by WWE ever. But hey, they could never replicate what 25 was, a complete masterpiece. It's like putting a sequel to the movie that you know is never going to be able to live up to the original. So 26 was not the best. Let me say this. It was very good, but when you have such a high bar of 25, you almost knew it was unachievable. So, again, with Jim Ross at the helm, steering the ship, calling the action, and Jim Ross does exactly that too. He calls the action, which is what commentators and announcers do. In today's day and age, it's all about the story. I mean, I'm seeing things going on in the ring, but the announcers are talking about the backstory. I'm not feeling you here. The backstory will fill itself in. You can tell me the backstory when there's not action going on inside the ring that is proposed to be and presented to be the most important thing that goes on, because that's how you win and lose championships, and that's how you gain a reputation. That's how you build momentum with fans. That's how you build respect. And yet today's product is all about majority of the time it's talking about the backstory. It's not describing the moves and holds that are going on and maybe the pain that the opponents are feeling, but rather the story of the whole thing, which again will fill itself in without you having to disconnect me from what's going on inside the ring with your backstories. WWE is so obsessed with creating stories that they're actually doing a disservice by talking about the story during the actual storytelling of inside the ring, which is where it's told. Does that make any sense, or did I confuse people? Okay. All right. So I'm going to take a quick break for the sponsor of the show, and then on the other side, I'm going to get straight to that audio that you guys want to hear, and frankly, I want to hear, because it just jacks me up every time I hear the audio from this match. So stay right here. We'll be right back. So do you guys love wrestling, and are you a cord cutter? I have a perfect solution for you. That's Beast TV. Beast TV offers 3,000 plus HD channels and all sports packages. Pay-per-views are only $4 a piece. And if you mention this podcast when you sign up, you'll also get a discount off your first order. All you have to do is email beastzonetv@gmail.com. That's beastzonetv@gmail.com. You can also check out the website at thebeast.tv. Again, to get that discount, you have to email beastzonetv@gmail.com. Everything from wrestling to UFC and boxing pay-per-views, it's all there for just $15 a month. Check out The Beast. It's beastzonetv@gmail.com. And don't forget to mention this podcast when you send the email, and you'll get a discount off your first order. Alrighty, and thank you guys for sticking with me. Welcome back. We're going to get right to some audio here, and this is jumping around a little bit, but this is towards the end of the match, and Jim Ross on commentary with Michael Cole and Jerry the King Lawler, and just take a listen, and we'll discuss after.
Himself up.
Damn, he's missing again.
Bam! Right on the jaw. He's done it. Shawn Michaels did it. We'll live his prophecy. Hit the streak of eye. And again, God Almighty, the match continues.
What?
This classic is continuing. Can you believe, ladies and gentlemen, what we are witnessing here together tonight? Is watching a classic.
So fitting for the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania.
And that is Jim Ross in the best that Jim Ross is, when he is genuinely feeling emotion for what is happening and what the crowd is feeling, what the audience is feeling. every move, every punch, every inch, every moment the fans are with Undertaker. They're with Shawn. They're engaged. They are invested to the maximum. And with Jim Ross, again, I'm such a Jim Ross fan. Have you noticed? And so it was just amazing. And I'm going to get a little more audio in just a minute too, because I want you guys to enjoy this just as much as I do. It was amazing. I mean, you had the way that they build the match and or built it up rather and executed it. I want to break that down a little bit because I think it's so important in today's product. Not that every match has to mirror this. Of course not. Every match has its own flavor. Every performer has their own style. I understand that. But I think as a whole, one of the issues with today's product, and I don't hate it. I really don't. I'm not complaining about it, but I think it's an issue, is that it takes away from believability because there's no selling. And it's just There's no build. It's just straight to power moves, straight to, you know, punches and kicks. What about the actual wrestling part of wrestling? What about the actual chain wrestling that is just a lost art? What about the lockups and the occasional headlocks? Not the rear chin lock that Randy Orton does for 20 minutes every single match. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about holds and counters and things like that that make you believe that these men and women are true athletes trying to compete for something that they believe in and genuinely want to win the match and are trying to do it in a way that's professional wrestling. WWE can label themselves all they want, that they're a global entertainment company. Oh, that really, that's wonderful. What do you do inside the ring? What brought you to the dance? Don't give me these side projects of your movie creation company, WWE Studios. Don't give me that you're all about building philanthropy. Stephanie McMahon would love to distance herself from WWE ever being considered a wrestling company. She would love it because she's all about philanthropy and making sure that everybody believes that they are just the most wonderful, warm, and cuddly company in the entire world. But at the core of what WWE is, they can hide and try to run and put the blanket over their head all they want about who and what they are. They are a wrestling company. And I know that management and probably others would very, very aggressively disagree with me. We're not just a wrestling company. We're a global entertainment company. Okay. All right. Well, I think I'm going to be arguing with myself. And that's no fun for anyone to listen to. So, again, my point is, though, that nobody in this match, neither man, worked too quickly or worked too softly. It seemed everything was smooth. Everything had a purpose. The pacing was just right. The guys weren't going 100 miles an hour. So I think what guys could take from this match is, number one, you don't need to take this as a template. But some of the sticking points and things that made it work were pacing. Everything doesn't need to be flip, fly, flam. Okay? Is flam even a word? I don't know. The guys also sold. Not just registered, but sold. Registered means that, okay, well, you know, you're quote punching me, and I'll react to that, but I don't sell it as if it actually was painful. There's no reaction to it. You get punched in the face by anybody, I don't care who you are, you're reacting to it and selling it because it's genuine. And if you want us to believe it's a genuine punch, sell it. Don't just register it. In addition, they built up to the finishers. They built up perfectly because they went from chain wrestling to the chops, to then to the punches, then to some of the power moves, then to some of the signature moves, then to the finishers that were kick out, pin. Perfectly laid out. Perfectly. And again, not every match has to be laid out like that. I understand that. I'm very privy to that. My point is that when you build a match that way and you present a match that way, that is such a high profile match, it allows the crowd to digest what's going on and understand that they're slowly building the fire here. It's another log and another log and another log on the fire that is this match. You don't need to go 500 miles an hour. Oh, we got to get fans excited the whole time. Excited, excited, excited. Oh, we want them to be engaged. That's just not going to happen. It's human nature. And people want to be told a good story. This is Exhibit A. Exhibit A. This wasn't personal. This was all business. There was nothing, but there was no chairs. There was no bells and whistles. It was two guys, two veterans, two legends in there kicking ass, doing what they love to do and know how to do it damn well. And that's tell a hell of a story in the middle of the ring and be able to bring the audience in and make it believable and sell. S-E-L-L. That's what I'm saying. Those, when you put all those factors together and you put it on the biggest stage, you are just almost guaranteeing yourself success. So let's get back to a little bit of the match here and listen to Jim Ross, Michael Cole, and Jerry the King Lawler. And one of my favorite parts of the match, and without spoiling it, let's just take a listen. And that is, just Jim Ross at his absolute best. And he's a masterful announcer. And my favorite line was when he said he had just had an out-of-body experience. I mean, but I believe he's being genuine. I don't think it was just a line or something that he had prepared beforehand. It was clearly something that he was feeling at that moment. And I echoed it because I believed that, you know, that was it for Michaels. And there were times too that Michaels made me believe that, oh my God, this is it. I mean, that first clip that I played you guys where he comes out, or he gave Undertaker Sweet Chin Music, and that was for the second time, and he had kicked out. When he hit it, I said, oh my God. I said, the streak is over. I remember standing up in my living room, my hands on my head, and I'm like, oh my, you know, that's it. And he kicked out, obviously, but it made me believe. And those are the moments that you just love being a fan. And we don't have Shawn Michaels and Taker now, that at least not at this capacity. Crown Jewel or whatever the hell it was does not count. I don't treat that as a true comeback for Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels has been retired. That version of him that came out at Crown Jewel was not really him. It was probably some imposter or something like that. But you'll never see these two again at that level. And Taker went on to have some good matches after that, but I think Undertaker's quality of matches from 25 started to slowly decline. From that point on. And Shawn Michaels' last match was WrestleMania 26 against The Undertaker in a match that was, again, still good, but nowhere near the match quality that they had at 25. Had Shawn Michaels retired at 25, and he wishes, I don't know if he wishes, but he had mentioned that he thought about ending it at 25, and, you know, he would basically go out on top. That was his thinking, and he decided to go another year, and the whole buildup to that was, you know, look, I made one mistake of trying to attempt the moonsault off the top that ended in a counter into a tombstone for the victory for Taker. So he had beat himself up all year, and he told Taker, I'll put my entire career on the line against your streak, and tried to bait Taker time after time, and ended up eventually, I believe, costing him the World Heavyweight Championship, showing up at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, the pay-per-view before WrestleMania 26, and ends up Sweet Chin Musicking, that's a verb, I guess, The Undertaker, and costing him the championship to force Taker to want revenge on Michaels. Again, that was a very good storyline. I think Jim Ross not being on commentary was a bit of a takeaway, and it's hard to repeat something like that. But as far as 25 goes, man, I mean, it just does not get any better than that. Somebody trying to challenge me in a better WrestleMania match, that wasn't the true main event. Somebody, please. I mean, I feel bad for who followed them. And as I'm looking at the card here, it was John Cena defeating the Big Show and Edge. Does anybody remember that? I didn't until I looked it up. I mean, I didn't. Triple H and Randy Orton, I mean, that was something that also, I know this is not that match, but one little tidbit on that match, that was a rivalry that should never have been no disqualifications. Why it was, I remember saying it at the time, and I'll say it now, made no sense. Triple H invaded Randy Orton's home, threw him through his own living room window, if you remember that. Randy Orton tied up Stephanie McMahon and kissed her in front of Triple H when they were both handcuffed to the ring. And we're going to do a no, we're going to do a traditional match for this? Made no sense. And the stipulation, too, was if Triple H was counted out or disqualified, he would lose the championship. Which made no sense. None. Zero. Why would you, at WrestleMania, make that stipulation? I understand if you're making it, you know, in a match prior to the blow-off of WrestleMania as a build. Of like, oh my God, imagine if that stipulation wasn't there, Triple H would destroy him. I want to see them in a no-holds-barred match, a street fight, Hell in a Cell. I don't care. But you had them in a traditional match. And it just, it handcuffed them, like more metaphorically speaking, not literally like Randy Orton did to Triple H and Stephanie. But it handcuffed both competitors because they can't do what they should have been doing, and that's beating the holy hell out of each other with inanimate objects. Triple H trying to kill Randy Orton. I mean, in that time, you know, he had the right to, certainly. So that match I never understood. But my point is, does anybody remember anything else about that pay-per-view? Certainly not, for the most part. You couldn't tell me. I mean, let me just run down the card for you, see if this rings a bell. The Colognes defeated John Morrison in The Miz. CM Punk defeated Christian. Finlay, Kane, Kofi Kingston, Mark Henry with Tony Atlas. Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin in a Money in the Bank ladder match. That's when the Money in the Bank ladder match was held at WrestleMania before it was its own pay-per-view. Santina Marella won by eliminating Beth Phoenix from the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal, with Mae Young as a special guest timekeeper. Yes, a man won a woman's match. Imagine that happening today. Oh, I guess it wouldn't be as bad as Nia Jax entering the Men's Royal Rumble. Maybe she identified as a man that night. God, don't get me started. You know, if I ever do a politics show, I will probably be off the air within two episodes. I can guarantee it. And then we had Chris Jericho defeat Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat, and Roddy Piper with Ric Flair in a handicap elimination match. I remember thinking this pay-per-view, with that particular match, now that I say it, with Chris Jericho going against all those legends, that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to come out and stand up for those legends. And he never did, but Chris Jericho won. Matt Hardy defeated Jeff Hardy in an Extreme Rules match. Tough one. Tough when you put the Hardys against each other, because nobody wants to see that. Rey Mysterio defeated JBL in a singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Then seventh came The Undertaker and Shawn in a singles match. John Cena defeating Big Show and Edge in a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And then Triple H defeating Randy Orton in a singles match for the WWE Championship. So in what was a otherwise a lackluster show that looks like it could be any, really, honestly, like outside of Chris Jericho defeating the legends, that wasn't a great match to my recollection. It kind of looks like a ho-hum, just kind of a Raw card, to be honest. But again, Shawn Michaels and Taker was the pay-per-view that night. And imagine following that. Imagine being John Cena and Big Show and Edge, sitting backstage going, oh my God, we have to follow this? The audience was zapped for emotional energy, zapped for reactions. I mean, if you go back and listen, I watched some of the match after that, and the entrances just had almost no reaction. I mean, it was compared to Triple H and Shawn Michaels. That's what happens when you have a classic. It just takes all the energy out of the room, but that's a compliment to those guys. Whenever you have a match of that caliber and the execution to that level, forget it. Forget it. So, again, amazing match. If you have not seen it and you're a new fan, I say this all the time with matches that I bring up on the show. Please, I'm begging you, go watch that match. It is worth every second of your time. And you will learn, I think, more than you think you will by watching that. And I think that you'll get a little bit of a flavor of what those two old school guys brought to the dance their entire career. I know I'm still talking as if Undertaker is retired. He's not, but he's not the WrestleMania 25 Undertaker. He's the WrestleMania 36 Undertaker. Add 11 years to that. Whew, rough, rough stuff. So do yourself a favor, and if you have seen it, just go see it again. It will get you caught up. I was getting chills just watching it on my phone as I was talking to you guys. Like, literally got chills just watching it. I mean, it just reminded me why you're a fan. You just get lost. You get lost in the moment. You get lost in time. That's what these matches are for. That's what being a wrestling fan is all about, are those times, those moments. And Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker certainly delivered in those moments. So, highly recommend it. Okay, well, guys, that's all the time I got for you today. Hope you enjoyed this wrestling nostalgia segment of the WWE podcast. Again, I'll be back on Tuesday with my Extreme Rules thoughts and my Raw thoughts as well. A lot of wrestling for me to catch up on. I know. I got a lot of on-delay video to watch. A lot. Oh, boy. The pay-per-view and then Raw, man, it's like 5 hours of stuff I got to catch up on. So it's going to be a long long day at work. Maybe I can sneak in a little bit while I'm sitting at my desk. And then also, when I get home, try to crunch it in. Boy, it's going to be a little rough, but I'll get it in, and I'll be able to get you guys my opinions. I'll also probably be tweeting my opinions on my Twitter feed. So check that out at the WWE Podcast as well. And I'll be back later this week with SmackDown. And then, of course, my co-host with Ashley Mann on Thursday, which is also going to be awesome. And looking forward to that. So, guys, as always, thanks again. I'll talk to you next time. So do you guys love wrestling? And are you a cord cutter? I have a perfect solution for you. That's Beast TV. Beast TV offers 3,000 plus HD channels and all sports packages. Pay-per-views are only $4 a piece. And if you mention this podcast when you sign up, you'll also get a discount off your first order. All you have to do is email BeastZoneTV@gmail.com. That's BeastZoneTV@gmail.com. You can also check out the website at TheBeast.TV. Again, to get that discount, you have to email BeastZoneTV@gmail.com. Everything from wrestling to UFC and boxing pay-per-views, it's all there for just $15 a month. Check out The Beast. It's BeastZoneTV@gmail.com. And don't forget to mention this podcast when you send the email, and you'll get a discount off your first order.